volunteers and actually board members of the Oak Creek Community Center that are accepting the questions, screening questions, and eliminating those that are duplicates. And then our official timekeeper, again, are all board members of the Oak Creek Community Center. This evening's program will be conducted as follows. Each candidate will be given 1 minute for introduction. I mean, we assume that everyone knows the candidates, but everyone may not. So we'll give the candidates 1 minute to just give a brief introduction of themselves. The index cards and questions have been submitted. They are in the drum, and beginning after the opening comments from our candidates will then be submitted to the candidates. We have conducted a random drawing to select the order of answering, and Mr. Verhaelen will begin with answering the first question, and then we will move to the left after each question. Candidates will be given up to 3 minutes to answer the questions. My board members here tell me there are probably 50 to 60 questions. So again, thank you so very much for your support. Certainly, it's a great thing to be active in the community. And again, this is your opportunity to be heard. So questions will be submitted. We will conclude at approximately 8:35. And then candidates will each be given 5 minutes for closing remarks. So, this time, Mark Freeland, you have 1 minute to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good evening. I'd like to thank everyone for coming here this evening, first of all. My name is Mark Verhaelen. I've lived in Oak Creek all my life. I'm married to my wife for 28 years. She's in the audience, Kim. We have 4 children. I've been involved in politics for a number of years in Oak Creek prior to being elected. Was president. I'm still in president of Oak Creek Citizens Action. It's a citizens group which more or less a watchdog group that keeps track of the goings on at City Hall. And since I've been elected, I still keep active in Citizens Action. And so far, the city has shown me things that I did not know before I was elected. And hopefully we'll have a good debate tonight, and everyone will see how we turn out. Thank you.
And Timothy Grabowski.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Timothy Grabowski, and I'm delighted to be here this evening to participate in the Mayoral Candidate Forum, along with Mayor Bolander and Alderman Verhaelen. I would like to take this opportunity to share with all of you a little bit of who I am for those of you that have not had the opportunity of meeting me before. I'm married to Darren, and we have 3 children, Brittany, who is in the United States Air Force, Matthew, who is currently attending UW-Oshkosh, and our youngest child, Cole, who is 12 years old. I was born, raised, and educated in Sydney, Australia. I am a high school graduate from Kambala Ladies College for high school, and I attended Hales Business College, graduating with a certificate in business and administration. I also have a certificate in public administration from UWM. When my husband Darren and I left the U.S. Army, or I should say when Darren left the U.S. Army in 1991, we decided to move to Oak Creek to be near our family. We chose to reside in Oak Creek because of the excellent schools, the affordability of a home, and because it offered a rural charm, yet was close enough to Milwaukee and then also to Chicago. My professional background has been primarily in property management, and also I was employed with the Department of Defense in a civilian capacity. In 2003, I decided to run for Alderwoman of the 5th District, and I believed that it was time for a new voice, and I have represented this district for 6 years and 3 consecutive terms, and I'm also the Common Council President. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Dick Ballner, the mayor of Oak Creek. I'm 66 years of age, married, 2 adult children, my wife Christine, who is in the crowd tonight. And I thank you all for coming to this evening. It is very nice to see when we have participation in informational meetings so you can get to know your candidates and get to know what we each stand for. So thank you again for coming, and I thank Rich for providing this opportunity to us. Thank you.
Okay, and again, the first question for this evening will be answered by Mr. Verhaelen. What would your opinion be to legislation proposed for a mandatory sick leave benefit for the city of Oak Creek, and justify that opinion?
Recently, Milwaukee adopted this legislation, and I would hope that Oak Creek does not follow suit. Being a small business owner in the city, it would make it very difficult to retain employees. There may be a need to hire more people for a small business if you had to do this, i.e. people taking more off days. For me, as a small businessman, I would not justify having something like this in Oak Creek or any other suburb of Milwaukee County. It puts the businesses here at a disadvantage, would cause businesses to leave Milwaukee County and the city of Oak Creek. And right now, whether it's the city of Milwaukee, city of Franklin, city of Oak Creek, Greendale, South Milwaukee, whatever, it's a really difficult time now. Everyone knows that. People are losing their jobs. And that is not the type of message to send to the business community, because we will definitely lose more than what we'll gain by, adopting something like this. And I really don't see it happening in Oak Creek.
And Mrs. Grabowski, again, the question is, what would your opinion be to legislation proposed for a mandatory sick leave benefit for the city of Oak Creek, and justify that opinion?
I also agree with Alderman Verhaelen on this. I do not think that this would be of a benefit to the community of Oak Creek. We don't know as to why Milwaukee has done that, and that's something that I guess they're going to have to deal with. But here in Oak Creek, you would see businesses leaving. You would see owners having to close stores. They wouldn't be able to survive. I think that in general, it would not be something that would be well received in the community, and this is something that I would not support under any circumstances. Thank you.
And finally, Mr. Bolivar, what would your opinion be to legislation proposed for a mandatory sick leave benefit for the city of Oak Creek, and justify that opinion?
The idea is outstanding, except nobody could afford this. When the resolution came through in Milwaukee and they had it voted upon, and it was voted in, and they said that that would be a great thing, the people in the Milwaukee business portion became very upset, and there's all kinds of retribution, and I should say upset people who own businesses that can't afford this. To have somebody have the opportunity to take a sick day at his convenience or her convenience is not something we can afford. And a business owner has tough enough sledding with the government rules and regulations and the expenses they suffer. There's no way that this could work out in any way, shape, or form. And I would definitely be against this at any cost to the city, because the business is what keeps this country and the city floating. And we need to make sure that we do not have another obstacle in their way. And this would be an obstacle, I'm afraid. So.
Oh, the pamper chef timer is working perfectly there. Okay, here. On to question number two, and Mr. Verhaelen, if you would pass the marker that is in front of you over to Dimity. Thank you. Mrs. Grabowski, do you favor an expansion of the tax base by expanding diversified development, including residential, small business, and manufacturing, at the expense of all the remaining undeveloped land and green space?
No, I don't. I'm a very big supporter of economic development, and I think that the City of Oak Creek is very well aware of that. I would like to see that we have revenue coming in. I don't think that anybody on the council, including our mayor, would be supportive of taxes being raised at the expense of the residents. So my answer would be no, that I would not support that. Thank you.
And Mr. Boulder, do you favor an expansion of the tax base by expanding diversified development, including residential, small business, and manufacturing, at the expense of all the remaining undeveloped land and green space?
Well, first of all, Oak Creek has a unique position in this world. Last time I was campaigning, a lady who I talked to said to me, I moved to Oak Creek for a reason, and I thought, okay, this ought to be good. And she said, because it's where the country meets the city. We need to keep that. We need to keep our green spaces and open spaces. If you're going to sacrifice all the green spaces in town for three houses on an acre, that is not going to fly well. What you need to do is bring businesses into the city to prop up our taxes. Houses will come. If you have everything in a city, like Oak Creek is getting to be, Panera's and all these stores, shops, people want to move here. So we don't have to sacrifice things. We just have to control how we go about development. And businesses are the key for lower taxes. People will move here. People want to move to Oak Creek all the time. And basically, I don't want to see all the green spaces gone. I want to see lots of them kept because that's our little niche in the world. I don't want to be like Franklin. I don't want to be like Cudahy or South Milwaukee. South Milwaukee, I should say Oak Creek, has this great opportunity to be where the country meets the city. And we can still have low taxes as long as we have businesses who prop up our tax base.
And Mr. Verhaelen, do you favor an expansion of the tax base by expanding diversified development, including residential, small business, and manufacturing, at the expense of all the remaining undeveloped land and green space?
Well, I guess, first of all, it's kind of a deceiving question, because all lands is not a correct statement. Oak Creek right now, we've had the planning in effect for a number of years. We have a comprehensive plan, which was adopted a few years ago. In this comprehensive plan, there are floodplain areas, there are flood fringe areas, there are areas designated for future green space and environmental protection. MMSD has undertaken some land purchases in Oak Creek over the past few years, and I think they've bought so far probably 200 acres of land in Oak Creek. That is put into permanent conservation as of last year. Some was, and this year will be some more. Oak Creek Parks just has purchased another parcel of land off of Drexel Avenue to expand Abbotshine Park. And Milwaukee County also owns probably 2,000 or 3,000 acres of land in Oak Creek, including areas of Bender Park, down along the Rook River Parkway, and other areas. So the question would be, do I support diversified development in lands other than those lands? And yes, I do. Because if we do not utilize the properties that are suitable for development and develop those properties properly, the tax base will remain stagnant. You won't get any more businesses moving into town in certain areas that are adapted for those businesses. And that equates to higher taxes for the people that are here.
Okay, and we'll begin the third question with Mr. Bollinger. Mr. Bollinger, it is understood that the city has money concerns and strict budget limits. How can you justify hiring from the outside when you already have current employees who can do the job?
Hiring from the outside? I don't know where that one came from. But in these economic times, we are going to have to do things lean, and we have to keep the taxes as low as we possibly can. We do not hire from the outside whenever we can put somebody who has got a job in the city that's either not being used and promote him someplace else. Example, there was a young man in engineering. As you know, we don't have too many buildings going on right now. Engineering has been slow. We had a choice. We could lay the gentleman off, or we could put him someplace else. We chose to put him someplace else. We put him in streets. We need a couple of people in streets, but because of the economic downturn, that's not going to happen. So we just move one person from one department to another. And I don't believe we're going to hire anybody from the outside if we have people here. And I don't believe in layoffs. What I believe in is simply put people where you need them and hope for the best as far as the economic upturn, which would take maybe a few years if we're lucky. Thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Verhaelen, before we begin to have you answer the question, I think we're going to stop on this thing and get rid of it because it's becoming a distraction to everybody here. Yeah. And yes, I would just say, well, you know, use the watch and do the best that we can on this. So, Mr. Verhaelen, it is understood that the city has money concerns and strict budget limits. How can you justify hiring from the outside when you already have current employees who can do the job?
As far as I know, or as Dick stated, we don't really hire people from the outside unless it's for big projects, road paving, things that our street department cannot handle. As far as paramedic service, Oak Creek does all our own paramedic service. We don't hire anybody from any outside firms to do any of that type of work. Police department, that's self-explanatory. Going back to the street department, I know that over the last couple of years we've lost a couple of people there. We haven't replaced them, but there is, as far as I know from being on the council for the last 2 years, there is enough manpower to handle the projects and jobs that do come up with that department. And so far we haven't had to hire any outside services to any grass cutting, any snow plowing, any garbage collection, or anything like that. We seem to be doing a very good job with what we have. Parks and Rec, they hire outside people, I guess you might say, for the summer for helping with ball field maintenance, grass cutting, and stuff like that. But that's been an ongoing practice for years and years. So as far as I know, we haven't gone down the road of outside hiring as of yet, but I don't think that's going to happen for any time in the near future myself either, because the people that we have on staff are more than able and capable of doing the work that we have right now.
And Mrs. Grabowski, it is understood that the city has money concerns and strict budget limits. How can you justify hiring from the outside when you already have current employees who can do the job?
The city of Oak Creek does have very stringent guidelines as far as with union contracts for the police and fire. We have 58 police officers, a total of 78 personnel, and 49 firefighters. We're really stretched in some of those areas as it is right now. So we would not be looking to hire from the outside. This is a question, I think, that has been raised several times before, and it's looked at as outsourcing. The city has primarily chosen to keep source of hiring within. An example would be with the planning department. We've used HNTB, we've used other companies to do work for us simply because with this shortage of staff, they're not able in certain areas to keep up. We're very cognizant of the fact that the budget is very tight, but it would not be prudent to go outside to outsource when we have people from within the city that are not only capable, but many of them are experts in those fields. So we would not be undertaking that. Thank you.
And we will begin question number four with Mr. Verhaelen. Mr. Verhaelen, is the city of Oak Creek going to help the economy by freezing city employee wages?
Well, I guess I was asked this question a few times for constituents, whether I support pay raises, pay freezes. As everyone may not know, well, everyone in here does not know, but I'm on the personnel committee this year, and we're right now in the middle of contract negotiations with police, fire, streets, and police matrons and the non-union people in the city. So we're right now, personnel is kicking around various proposals back and forth from the unions and our bargaining team. As of today, we have not come to any final agreements on what types of wages and compensation will be pushed forward in the next contract. And I cannot discuss any specifics tonight because the ground rules that were laid down on our personnel committee do not permit me to go into any specifics on any contract negotiations at this time. Thank you.
Again, with question number four for Mrs. Grabowski, is the city of Oak Creek going to help the economy by freezing city employee wages?
The answer is no. I know that everybody in this room would like to hear me say yes, but realistically, this is something that the city would not be able to do. Through union negotiations, and I agree with Alderman Verhaelen, I do not sit on the personnel committee. We've had discussions in the past as it relates to contracts, increases of salaries. You also have to look at the health care wages. You have retirement. So you really have a whole host of issues and concerns going on. So, the city, given as what Alderman Verhaelen has stated, that we would not be able to give out more information this evening. It's not by choice, but obviously they're under union negotiations, also for the non-union management, and so we have to respect that until those decisions have been agreed to. Thank you.
And Mr. Bradford, is the City of Oak Creek going to help the economy by freezing city employee wages?
The City of Oak Creek has a union in the street department, police department, fire department, and a union contract is a two-edged sword. The union provides this, the city provides that. You can't take a union contract and destroy it or freeze it. What you need to do is simply go to the union and say, okay, here's our choices. And when you involve the union in negotiation and ask them to help you, that's when you'll get your best results. And basically, it's either you're going to have to lay people off if you have X amount of dollars as a, shall we say, do we raise taxes to a community and to people who are losing their jobs? Or do we go to the unions and say, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, we need to sit down and talk. Under negotiations with a union, you've got two choices. You can lay certain people off, okay, or you can say, do you want to take a freeze or a cutback and keep everybody working? A union contract has to be respected. I never was in a union in my life, but I've dealt with the fire department, police department, and the streets. And you know, you can get some really great results if you sit down with people and talk to them, because I don't think anybody wants to see our community fail. So the idea would be, we can't break the union. We cannot just freeze their wages. You're going to have to deal with them as human beings and say, could you help us get through this strife? And I think, I actually feel strongly that they would come up with some good suggestions. And when people work together, you get stuff done. Otherwise, you're just pounding heads together, and that does not work too well.
And thank you, Mr. Mulder. With question number 5, we will begin with Mrs. Grabowski. Mrs. Grabowski, what is your position regarding the mitigation payments from We Energies? The vast majority of the money seems to be going toward fire and police protection. Why can't more funds be dedicated to the tax base and or the schools?
Excellent question. We hear this quite often from constituents, or at least I hear this quite often. The city currently receives $2.3 million a year, and we have negotiated, as far as the city is concerned, a certain portion goes to the police and a certain portion goes to the fire. When this was agreed to in 2003, just before I became an alderman, I think the city negotiated very fairly and was getting what was equitable. At this time, we have approximately, I believe it's close to $500,000 that we're able to utilize through the CIP, which is our Capital Improvement Fund. And we're able to, rather than put these bills or dollars on the tax base, we're able to utilize this through the We Energies. That's a good, that's a positive for the city. If we had to put an ambulance, a fire truck, a police vehicle, these are, you know, revolving expenses. And they're quite expensive expenses. So by not putting them on the general fund, putting it on the We Energies, this is a good way to do business, I think. I would like to see the dollars are looked at very carefully in the future for economic development. And I don't rule out that we could have some discussions with the schools as far as utilizing those dollars. There's only so much at this point that can go around, so we have to use those dollars very wisely. Thank you.
And Mr. Boulder?
Yep.
What is your position regarding the mitigation payments from We Energies? The vast majority of the money seems to be going toward fire and police protection. why can't more funds be dedicated to the tax base and or to schools?
Well, let me, and this has a couple of facets to it. The first facet is this. When you say most of the money or some of the money, was it some of the money, go towards police and fire, that's a direct result of negotiations with Wisconsin Electric. They want good police and they want good fire. I'll give you an example. They had a little explosion on there last week, and basically they want that kind of protection. We did a good job. Our fire department does excellent work down there. They paid towards that police and fire protection. The other part of the mitigation money, which is $2.25 million per year, that's mitigation. That comes right from the power company, goes right to us, no middleman. The idea I have with this is as follows. If things in this economy keep going in a downward spiral, the money for mitigation needs to be used to keep our city afloat. Because when people lose their jobs, how are you going to pay your taxes? That $2.25 million, as far as I'm concerned, would be the golden parachute to keep our taxes down where people can afford to stay in their homes and stay in this city. Number one, if you took every dollar, the $2.25 million, and you took 25% of it and gave it the direct tax relief, in other words, stick it right in the general fund, that would lower your taxes. 75 cents of that same dollar, or 75% of the total picture, could be used for the things we need, roads, streets, a library, what have you. Right now, a library and city hall are on hold for no less than 2 years. But we're going to keep this golden parachute that the electric company is providing for us as something that can be a factor to keep us afloat and keep our taxes down. Because if the economy goes sour, worse than it is now, and I watch TV and then I get panic-stricken watching people losing their jobs, and we need this money. And that's where it's going if I'm around, because you can take that whole $2.25 million and keep our city running at a halfway decent pace.
And, Mr. Verhaelen, what is your position regarding the mitigation payments from We Energies? The vast majority of the money seems to be going toward fire and police protection. Why can't more funds be dedicated to the tax base and or to schools?
All right. As the other two mayoral candidates stated, a certain amount of that money was negotiated when the power plant was first being proposed. Oak Creek agreed to dedicate a certain amount of the mitigation funds to added police and fire during the construction of that power plant. That will continue because it's attached to the police and fire department's budgets directly. After the power plant is constructed, we will get added funds that can be dedicated to infrastructure projects, improving the roads, and improving the different situations that may come up in the city if we have huge replacements that are necessary in some of our other infrastructure areas that may come along in the future. But Mr. Bollinger is correct. Some of this money may have to be put into some type of tax relief in the next year or two until the economy gets back on its feet. However, moving forward, and forward is the key word here, there was leadership in the city years and years ago when we had a very similar situation to this when the first power plant was constructed. Oak Creek was getting a lot of money, tax-directed funds from the original power plant. And the mayor at that time, the first mayor of Oak Creek, Art Abendschein, invested those funds in the future of Oak Creek. We invested money in a water utility, which is expanding every year to serve other communities beside Oak Creek, and it's bringing money back to the city. He invested in Oak Creek's North Branch and South Branch when the freeway was built in the early 1960s. That brought millions of dollars of tax base to the city that we would not have seen. But he was looking forward. He grabbed the opportunity when it was there and seized the opportunity, seized the moment, and invested in Oak Creek's future. So it's kind of a deja vu type situation. We're sitting here again getting extra monies from the power plant at this time, and somebody has to seize the initiative and see where to invest that money that's most going to benefit the city in the future. And I believe that's improving our infrastructure, improving our downtown area here, giving us added access to the freeway so we get better access in and out of Oak Creek with the traffic flows and whatnot, but also will bring better development to Delphi site, better development to the Northwest Mutual property, better development on 27th Street, rather than having the same type of venues maybe like you'd see around Southridge where you have McDonald's and IHOP and this and this and this, and it's all fast food and little strip malls. Myself, I don't want to see that for Oak Creek. I want to make Oak Creek a destination where people want to come here for something different. There's strip malls all over the county, and every city's got them. There's fast food restaurants all over the county. Everyone's got them. My goal is to make Oak Creek a place that everyone wants to come, and I think we can do that with the right investment in the right places.
And we will begin the answers to question number six with Mr. Bollinger. Mr. Bollinger, what is your educational background, and how will this help you run this city, which is socially and economically diverse?
Went to high school in South Milwaukee, graduated in 1962. Went to Whitewater, graduated in 1967, then went to the military. My education was in political science with a secondary in history, Phi Ed minor. The one thing I've learned is I'm surprised what I pick up and remember that I was taught back in, well, we did have lights back then. So, your education can never be completed. You have to learn every day. And I use a lot of things that I learned in college, and I didn't even know I was learning them, because you don't realize that someplace along the line you're going to pick up some and say, I remember when some professor told me this. So education to me is very important. I had to work very hard. I had a tutor, and I was smart enough to marry her later on, and I still have a tutor. But the idea was education, and, you know, I'm asked to speak at high school and grade schools and read to little kids in some of the grade schools, and I found out one thing. The best thing I ever learned was to speed read, because we get stuff across our desk, and I know Dimity does, I know Mark does, and you look at so many things, and pretty soon it's like, oh, boy. And there's just things that help you. The more education you have, along with common sense, because there are educated people that don't know to get out of the rain when it's raining, and that's another story. But a little common sense with education is the best thing in the world.
Mr. Verhaelen, what is your educational background, and how will this help you run this city, which is socially and economically diverse?
Well, first of all, I graduated from Oak Creek High School in 1974, and I guess I could say I went to the School of Hard Knocks. My father was the main breadwinner, business owner in our family. I was 25 years old. My dad was killed with a drunk driver in a car accident. My brother was killed 5 weeks later in a truck accident. Everything was... Our whole family business, and we had two or three of them at that time, was the whole thing was put on my lap, and my mother said, well, here you go, take over. And I did the best I could, and I learned a lot through the last 25 years, how to deal with people, how to run my business, how to work out of the box if you had to. When times were tough, when times were good, you came up with other ideas to expand the business. Now we're in a slow time again, and... a year or so ago, I actually sold some equipment and downscaled my business because I kind of had an inkling that something was coming down the line. So I don't know if it was just intuition or what, but I think that's what I bring to the city, an idea that everything shouldn't be status quo all the time, and there are times when you have to work out of the box, maybe change things, tweak a few things a little bit to get the job done more efficiently. And I think that's the difference between myself and maybe the other two candidates. I've run our family business for going on 25 or 26 years, and I've just been, I've had so many experiences and so many different occasions to work with different people, whether it was business people, public officials. I've dealt with, you know, so many people through the years. It's just a plethora of experiences, and I think I can draw on those type of things to move the city forward.
And finally, Mrs. Grabowski, what is your educational background and how will this help you run this city, which is socially and economically diverse?
Excellent question. Originally, as I stated earlier, I'm from Australia. What I bring to the table is diversity. When I had graduated from Hales Business College, one of the classes that I couldn't stand was in finance, accounting. Absolutely hated it. Boy, am I glad I took it now, you know, back then, because, gosh, you need it as an alderman. We do so much reading. We have to balance budgets. We're constantly dealing with figures. So those classes came in handy for me, let me tell you. When I had taken my certificate in public administration, once I became elected, I really thought when I had taken on the job, I thought I knew everything. I thought I'm just going to go in, this is going to be a breeze. And I realized, no, it's not that easy. There's a whole lot more to the non-elected side, I think, than anybody could ever imagine. So I enrolled and I undertook the certificate in public administration at the UWM. It really opened up my eyes. I was able to see the elected. I was the only elected in the class, but I was also there with police chiefs, fire chiefs, engineers, planners. So that gave me a very well-rounded perspective. When I worked for the Department of Defense, and I was a civilian employee, I worked in the administrative area of the correctional facility. And my job was to make sure that we shipped inmates to the correct destination. You wouldn't want to ship one to Fort Leavenworth when they're supposed to go to Fort Riley. What I'm getting at is it's given me a very well-rounded perspective. The employees of the city come from very diverse backgrounds. And I think that it's important that you bring to the table an understanding of good listening skills, good basic knowledge in financing. We have a city administrator, we have a city finance manager. Primarily those people, our city treasurer, they're really doing the majority of the numbers. But we are expected to know all of these things. When constituents ask questions, we need to be able to answer those questions intelligently. So I'm very, very proud of my background, and I think that it offers diversity on a daily basis. Thank you.
Question number 7, we'll begin with Mr. Verhaelen. Mr. Verhaelen, Southeast Oak Creek has a drainage problem. Mature woods have died because of standing water. Productive farmland have turned into swamps. Do you have a good idea of what can be done to address this problem?
Well, that goes to stormwater issues in Oak Creek. And of all three people up here, I've spent a lot of time on stormwater. I helped and I served on the Oak Creek Stormwater Master Plan Committee for almost 7 years. I was on MMSD's Water Quality Initiative for almost three years. There have been attempts at controlling Oak Creek's stormwater. Oak Creek right now has the most stringent stormwater restrictions of any community in Milwaukee County as far as stormwater detention and whatnot. It's even more strict than MMSD's rules. That being said, there have been many, many shortcomings in Oak Creek through the years, and I can speak to that because of my family's been here for a long, long time. I'm born and raised here, and I've farmed a lot of the land that now has houses, other developments on it, and I know what happens to properties when they're improperly developed, and things aren't done to mitigate existing problems as well as future problems. Having said that, way back in 1967, I believe, I still remember my father, we had the first issues with flooding in Oak Creek. That's when Oak Creek built its North Branch industrial parks. My father's corn and grain fields, soybean fields flooded over nearly every year for 3 or 4 years in a row. We blame that on Oak Creek's development of its North Branch areas. It fell on deaf ears. We were trying to get the people that were in power at that time to widen the Oak Creek Channel, dig it out. Nothing was ever done. That continues to be an issue. That can't be done anymore because it's a DNR issue now. Back then it wasn't. As far as ditch cleaning, brush removal, things like that, Oak Creek can do. And we should, given the lesson that was given to us last summer with the huge amount of water that we had standing all over the city, that there are areas that need to be addressed. There's culverts that need replacing. There's ditches that need to be dug out. There's places where we have trees and whatnot laying in navigable streams and tributaries to the Oak Creek that must be cleaned up. But these things all take time, and it's something else that you have to prioritize where you want to work first, get one area cleaned up and working, and then move to the next. Southeast part of Oak Creek isn't the only area that has problems. Everywhere in Oak Creek has problems at certain times of the year and 30 seconds. And that's not going to go away unless we make a concerted effort to do the work that's necessary. And I think that has been one of Oak Creek's shortfalls in the last 20 years.
Mrs. Grabowski, Southeast Oak Creek has a drainage problem. Mature woods have died because of standing water. Productive farmlands have turned into swamps. Do you have a good idea of what can be done to address this problem?
Yes, I do. I actually represent the southeast area, my district abuts up to the 4th district, where Alderman Turman represents the 4th district. Stormwater issues are a continual problem in this city. And this question specifically is directed to the southern easterly portion of Oak Creek. We have to look at the existing problems, and rather than, you know, place blame, we need to be proactive versus reactive. Currently, the residents of Oak Creek, there is a stormwater fee, and we utilize that fee to move forward as far as with cleaning ditches. We have a program that is undertaken yearly through our streets department, cleaning ditches, going in, looking where navigational waterways are, what we can do versus what we can't do. There's a certain area that the DNR, as much as we would like to undertake, we're not able to. There's strict guidelines that we have to follow. Many of the developments that have been undertaken in my district, such as the Willow Creek, the Belinsky homes, and also some future ones that we see in the future, we've had some very good neighborhood meetings up to this point. Stormwater management is going to be just an ongoing problem until we can figure out what we need to do. One of the answers, and I think that Alderman Verhaelen summed it up very well, we need to be very cognizant of where we develop. I don't believe that we should be putting homes in areas where you have high water tables. That doesn't make any sense. So I think we need to, as a city, be very careful where we have future development. And as I said, we need to look at this as being more proactive versus reactive. It's going to take some time. You don't want to stop development, but we need to be very cognizant of areas that we should leave in its natural state. Areas that can be developed, we can do cluster development. We don't have to have high density ratios and so forth. Thank you.
Mr. Boulder, Southeast Oak Creek has a drainage problem. Mature woods have died because of standing water. Productive farmlands have turned into swamps. Do you have a good idea of what can be done to address these problems?
The first move would be to form a stormwater management team in that area. Get all the landowners together and let's see what we could come up with on how to manage the water there. Also, part of that would be the planning change. There are pieces of ground, and I'm going to say pieces of ground because farmers refer to things that way. There are different areas that are rated as R3, which means three houses to an acre. Well, you couldn't walk to the back of most of those properties without getting wet feet. I have no idea how they ever got that drainage, that rating. But that land in the southeast corner of the city, my grandfather used to call them the swamp farmers, but they knew how to do it. They had ditches, they ditched the land, and they did it. But things were different. We didn't have all the development, and that changed the water table. So maybe we have to do some planning over there, and instead of having houses 1 to 1 acre, 3 to 1 acre, maybe we need 5 acre. You know, that all used to be equestrian, which meant you could have 5 acres and a horse. And that's a good idea, because if you go over there and walk around, you'll see there's like islands. That's dry. You could put a house and maybe a small barn. But the rest of the property, one, you wouldn't be able to build next to your neighbor. Two, we could port the water and it would settle and have places to go. This water has no place to go, and you can't ditch. I was told the DNR will not let you ditch, because if you dig a ditch with the guys from the street department, the DNR comes out there, they put a rowboat in it or a canoe. They sit in it and they go, it's navigable. And that, to me, sounds a little silly, but the DNR sometimes gets a little silly. But we need a plan and a group, and you get the landowners together, because they own the property. What are they going to sell it for? Well, we have to help them out. We just recently had the MMSD buy Vansel property, and now you'll see all trees on the corner of Oakland and Nicholson, Pennsylvania. That's maybe what we have to do there. But we also, those people are paying taxes, so we have to confront that issue also. I mean, if you have a swamp, what are you going to do with it? When you die, you're going to have the kids take it. What are they going to sell it for? So these are questions that aren't going to be easy to answer, but we need to get a group together, amazing landowners, and see what we can do with that area. And maybe it should be 10 acres and you can have a horse, 2 horses in your house, because then we wouldn't be trying to build in swamp areas. So it's a big question, and we have to address it sooner or later. Because the people over there, and I know who you're talking about when we talk about the floods. So this is a problem we're going to have to face sooner or later.
Okay, now to question number 8, and we will begin with Mrs. Grabowski. In this economic climate, do you still want to tear down City Hall and the library? And have any engineering firms submitted proposals regarding strengths and weaknesses?
Given the turn down of the economic climate, we fully understand, we're very cognizant, and we're very aware of the concerns of the taxpayers as it relates to the City Hall and library. The question is, how would we pay for it? Would we reconstruct a City Hall? Would we reconstruct a library? There's a whole host and array of concerns that are interrelated. Quite some time ago, we had RFPs that were put out to look at that specific site. So would the City Hall remain there, the fire station, and the library? And I know the question is related to the City Hall and library. But one has to also understand that with the plans that would be presented, the fire station does not show that it's going to remain there. So once again, you've got a host of other questions, concerns, you're looking at dollar figures and so forth. So to answer this, I'm not in support of tomorrow or within the next year or so moving forward with the City Hall and Library. We need to, as a city, we need to go back to the basic. We need to have the input from the residents. We need to have the input from the business community. We need to have the input from anybody and everybody that would like to be part of those discussions. It's very important. The price tag for the City Hall we're looking at is approximately $20 million. For the fire station, if it would remain on site, of course we wouldn't have to pay for that cost, but we would have to pay for the reconstruction. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to it, but I'm saying, to be honest to everybody here this evening, that I would not be in support of moving that forward at this time. Our city administrator took the time, I had asked as the council president, to give us a fiscal cost impact analysis study done for the City Hall, library, fire station, all of the other infrastructure costs that we're going to have to be looking at. And the total came up to, I think, roughly $50 million. That's a very large sum of money. So we need to prioritize. We need to go back once again to the basic. Let's have that discussion with the residents. Let's have that discussion with the business community. I'm all for that. I really am. I'm all for that. Let's get that input. Let's hear what everybody's got to say. I think the results may be very, very surprising. Thank you.
Mr. Bolivar, always to the left. Mr. Bolivar, in this economic climate, do you still want to tear down City Hall and the library and have engineering firms submit proposals on strengths and weaknesses?
Well, first off, I think I've said this several meetings ago. Right now, the best thing to do is zip up your flak jacket and wait this out. And you cannot do a thing in the next 2 to 3 years, maybe 4, until we know where the economy is going. We cannot attack the problem of the City Hall and the library. The library could also be used as a great broom closet, but its days as a library will have to continue. It is 17,000 square feet. Our library, with the population we got, should be about 30,000 square feet. You can't build anything now. I mean, it's time to just sit down and wait and see what goes. If we try to do anything, the only thing you could possibly do is get enough information together to see what it would cost, when you could do it. It doesn't hurt to plan. You know, you can't put it in a corner, put a bag over your head and say, if I don't think about it, it can't hurt me. We need to always be cognizant of what's going on, what we need in the city. But now is definitely not the time to move on anything. So we just sit it out, see how the economy goes.
And Mr. Verhalen, in this economic climate, do you still want to tear down City Hall and the library? And they have engineering firms submitted proposals on strengths and weaknesses.
Well, first of all, that is the wrong question to ask of me, because if everyone that is in here can recall, 3 years ago, the City Hall issue was a big subject of the last election. As president of Oak Creek Citizens Action, our group decided to take it upon ourselves to try to protect the citizens' interests in Oak Creek here. We put a direct legislation petition forward to the city, and we had to fight the city all the way to the Supreme Court so you people have a voice on how much is to be spent on the City Hall and the library. Currently, the ordinance is on the books that if they want to spend more than $2.5 million on either project, they have to take it to a referendum. So our citizens group was responsible for that. And as I said, we had to fight the city all the way to the Supreme Court. So that should pretty much give my stance on tearing City Hall down and spending $20 million on a new City Hall and a library. As I said before, going to priorities, the city has to put our priorities in order. We have to decide where we want to spend some of the monies that are coming from We Energies and how we want to promote the city and push ourselves to the next step and get us into the future. And right now, putting a lot of debt on the backs of the taxpayers for new buildings, which do not return any tax revenue to the city, that's not prudent expenditure of any type of monies right now, whether it's tax money or We Energies money or both. So I do think as well that those buildings may need replacing, they may need updating, but that's to be discussed at a future date. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, that's on hold. As I said before, if whoever becomes mayor and a new council will decide to put a proposal forward, as of today, the citizens of Oak Creek would still have to vote if they would have to spend more than $2.5 million on either building. So that's where we stand today.
On to question number 9, we'll begin with Mr. Bolander. Mr. Bolander, as mayor, what policies would you implement to maintain or improve the current quality of services to the taxpayers? As mayor, what policies would you implement to maintain or improve the current quality of services to the taxpayers?
The only policy that we could possibly inflict would be one of zero expenditures as far as things we can't afford, City Hall, library, and so on. We need to do things in a much more economical way than we have before. Example, and this is going to seem foolish, when fuel was $4 a gallon, I issued a memo, and my memos usually are very comical. I said, anybody who has an emergency vehicle, if you don't need the lights and the heater, turn it off. If you're a park employee, you have a truck, you're cutting grass or doing something, don't let the truck idle. Turn it off. Just to save fuel at $4 a gallon when it wasn't, and now we're seeing an all-time low. But we have to have procedures in place to minimize our expenses. You have to do things smarter. You don't have to, shall we say, cut programs. What you have to do is do it smarter. And the easiest way to do it smarter is either ask a department head or the people doing it. And you'd be surprised what great answers you can get. I'll give you an example. You know garbage with those little white trucks and those little blue barrels, and you see the guy come along and flip them in? The union had that idea. They came to me and said, we've got a great idea. Buy us those barrels, and we can take five trucks, five guys, 5 days a week, and we can do it with three trucks, three guys in 4 days. Now, that puts two guys and two trucks doing something else, which we do. You also, let's look at the medical. People were injuring their backs in the winter, slipping on the snow, or, you know, 60 pounds of garbage or whatever it was. We had guys out on injury to their backs. When I was on the personnel committee, we had claims come before us, and people were picking up garbage. It was icy, down they go. We haven't had one guy hurt. Those three guys and those three trucks do an outstanding job. And it wasn't my idea. I asked the guys who did it. How can we do this? We're just hurting ourselves here. It's the idea of do it smarter, and you don't have to, shall we say, start with a sharp knife.
And on to Mr. Verhaelen. Mr. Verhaelen, as mayor, what policies would you implement to maintain or improve the current quality of services to the taxpayers?
I don't know if it's so much policy. As Dick stated, it's ideas. And I go again to my experience as a businessman, thinking out of the box, coming up with new ideas and new ways to do things. I'm always open to new ideas, whether it be from streets, fire, police. That's a whole animal into itself. I'm not going to law enforcement. I'm sure not going to tell the police chief how we can save money on the police department. But, you know, when you go to Oak Creek's basic services, garbage collection, snow plowing, maintenance of the parks, and whatever other things are taken care of by the workers of the city here. I did suggest some things that hopefully that will be expanded in the future. This year I suggested to the head of Parks and Recreation to lease some equipment rather than purchasing it. Because we went with the lease, we saved over $100,000 on the cost of one piece of equipment that they were thinking on buying. I also suggested to the IT person, they were looking to hire a full-time person because their part-time person wasn't working out, and it was mostly because the wage was set too low, and I think I brought this forward at one of the meetings that we were not compensating the part-time person with enough money. It was $7.50 an hour, and where do you get an IT person for $7.50 an hour? But they did want to put a full-time person on that position to replace the part-timer, and I said, well, why don't we just continue with the part-timer, expand the hours, and pay them a decent wage. That way you'll have a qualified person that maybe can only put in 25 or 30 hours a week, and that's all the city needs right now, and you save all the benefits and retirement costs, and they did implement that also. So that was just two things that I managed to come up with during our last budget, and hopefully if I'm elected we can do a little bit better in the next coming years, and some of these things may be expanded, and hopefully we'll come up with some other ideas.
And Mrs. Grabowski, as mayor, what policies would you implement to maintain or improve the current quality of services to the taxpayers?
Well, it's not too often that I agree with both the mayor and also to Alderman Verhaelen, but I think both of these guys got it right. I'm not in favor of cutting services if it's not going to be a benefit to the residents. Residents here in the community have come to expect a certain level of their services. So you would not want to go in there and cut back and say, you know what, we've got a great idea. We're not going to come and pick your garbage up once a week. We're now going to come and pick it up maybe once a month. I think we'd all get thrown out of office for that. As Alderman Verhaelen said, at our recent budget, we went in and we went line by line and we looked to see where we really need to keep the dollars and where we could, you know, either thin them out. Could we cut back on some of the programs? And that was very difficult. We've looked at ways that we can double up with the streets department and parks, where we can do cost-sharing services. Police and fire, that's, one of its own. I don't believe that you can cut back to the point where public safety, is going to be coming at the forefront, and you've got residents saying, well, gee, I'm calling the fire department, and, right now we've got excellent services. So to say, well, we're going to, cut back with personnel, that's really not the way we want to go. I think that what we need to look at, and if I was mayor, I wouldn't ask this, I would demand this, that we have to go in and look at each of the budgets for every department. Let's go through, let's see where we can make some changes. If we can't make changes in certain areas, then we have to accept that. But I think the day has come where too often we hear, let's just slash and burn, let's just slash and burn. You have to be very careful when you implement that type of a policy, because what can happen is that you can end up having less services than what you may have, started with. So I think we need to take a very well-rounded approach to this. We need to look at the budget as a whole. Over the course of the last year, we've saved a lot of money. We were able to cut $4 million right off the bat. So I think our council, in the last year did a great job, and I think they're to be applauded for that, as well as the mayor. But I think that, in general, we have excellent services here. Do I think that there is room for improvement in some areas? Possibly. But I think that we need to take an overall look and once again see if we can make cuts and go from there. Thank you.
And question number 10 will begin with Mr. Verhalen. Question number 10 is, do you think we need to cut engineering and planning staff?
That's a really difficult question. Right now, anybody that has come into Oak Creek's planning or engineering department in the last maybe 5 or 6 years knows that engineering especially has less personnel in it today than it did 5 years ago. As far as the planning department, our planner, Doug Seymour, after his predecessor left, Paul Maluski, Doug ran the whole planning department by himself for almost 2 years. And that was right before I was elected and onto the beginning of my term, I think. But I came in there at times during the day, and Doug was just swamped with work. He couldn't even keep up because his position had not been filled, and he was running the whole planning department by himself. And he was overworked. He was doing the work of two or three people for the salary of a single person. And we in turn added that assistant to his department. As far as engineering, the staff we have there now is, like I said before, probably down 3 or 4 members from a few years ago. Adequate for the times we have now, but we have people there that have been in there for a number of years now. We have the head of engineering who's going to retire shortly. However, if you do have an upturn in the next couple of years, we have to preserve some people that are familiar with the city, know what the policies are, know what the rules are, and they have to be able to take the initiative to move the city forward in the event that the economy does turn around in the next couple of years and we want to slash the staffs and all of a sudden be confronted with building projects and other things coming forth and not have the staff or the people that are familiar with Oak Creek. You have to have a core number of people to continue to provide this service. So I would not be in favor of cutting either one of those departments right now anymore. And Mrs. Grabowski, do you think we need to cut engineering and planning staff?
No. I work with both of these departments primarily each day. I have a district that is continuously growing. Even though the economy is slowed down right now, we have proposals out there with Belinsky Development, And we also have some other developers out there that are looking to come into my district. I agree with Alderman Verhaelen. In the planning department, we currently have Doug Seymour, who is our community development director. We have Jeff Horton, who is our city planner. We have Pete Wagner, who is our zoning administrator. And we have Mel Hockey, who is the part-time clerical. She comes in on different days. She's also responsible for the minutes of the planning department. And then we have Maggie Wolford, who does an outstanding job, and she's there every day. In fairness, I think that too often planning department and the engineering department really get beaten up. There are times in this, you know, in this day and age where people say, you know what, I'm really tired of this. I've got this problem, and planning knows about it, and they're not doing anything about it. What we find out is that not necessarily the planning department hasn't done something about it. They have given a suggestion to a resident, or maybe that information has not got to the correct department. Engineering is a very lean department as it is. We have Wayne St. John, who we imagine will retire probably in the very near future. Wayne does an outstanding job in this community. We have two stormwater management people. We have a civil engineer. We have a design engineer. We have traffic engineers. And as I said, I deal with these people on, you know, daily basis. And I think that to cut those departments would be unwise. We expect in the community our police and fire, they give us 110%. We expect that also from our city planning and engineering department. These are the people that will drive economic development. We hope to bring in good economic development, so we need to rely on those departments. We don't want to see, you know, plans sitting for days on end. We don't want to see where the design manual, you know, goes way off track and you know, you've got developers coming in and saying, you know, wait a minute, what's going on? We need these departments, and I support these departments. Too often they're kind of on the, you know, the dead end of the stick. But I'm here to tell you that both of these departments work very, very hard. I am an alderman that's in there a great deal. I sit on the planning commission. I sit on boards where I deal with these people daily. And I think that they do an outstanding job. Thank you.
And Mr. Bollinger, do you think we need to cut engineering and planning staff?
I mentioned something about a person from engineering being put down into streets. We didn't have any work for him. Wayne came to me, Wayne St. John, and said, what are we doing? I said, we need somebody in streets. He's got a choice. Does he want to go to streets and work in streets, or does he want to be laid off? The engineering and planning, Doug Seymour runs the economic development engine in the city. That's like advertising. So what's the last thing you cut in business when things get tough? Advertising. You have to keep telling people you're there. We're open for business, let's go. So that, I wouldn't suggest cutting, number one. Number two, if we have to cut somebody, we have to cut somebody. Now, engineering can do other jobs, and if we do have spaces where we could use extra hands. You've got some things going on in streets, you've got some things going on in the parks. Somebody may have to change his suit into his work clothes and do something else. And, you know, being mayor is not an easy job. Sometimes you have to make hard decisions. And if everything is going downhill, you either find another position for them, or unfortunately, you're going to have to lay them off. Because we can't support somebody because when things get going, because there are a lot of people on the streets and you can hire somebody right back. The idea with Wayne's going to, I believe, retire in October. I don't believe we should replace him at this time. There are other people in that office, very young men, who are very good engineers who could take his place. Do we do that, or do we just see where we're going before we start saying, well, we have to keep these because they're special and better than the other ones? People in the city, what do you think you need the most? You need police, fire, snowplow, garbage pickup. That's actually what you need to live in the city. And do you say, well, I just can't cut them, or do you say, I guess I have to make a decision here as a leader? And if it would have to be, it would have to be. first we'd look for a place that he could be used in other aspects of city government. But if it would have to be, I would have to do that.
On to question 11, and we will begin with Mrs. Grabowski. Do you consider the city's perception of public safety acceptable?
Excellent question. The city's perception may be, and I hope I'm not treading on anybody's toes or stepping on anybody's toes this evening, but I think the city's perception of our public services is outstanding. I would tell you that I think that our police department and our fire department does a phenomenal job. But there's a concern that has been swirling in Oak Creek for quite some time, and it's quite alarming. The children of the high school age, there's a heroin problem. This doesn't stem from within the Oak Creek High School, but this is something that is out there right now. I have had the opportunity to speak to our police chief and also to several other of the police officers. Now, we currently have two police officers that are in the drug unit. I don't think that's enough. I have a sixth grader, and it concerns me, as I would think that it concerns any one of you that are out there this evening, that this is a drug that I'm being educated on a continual basis, that this is a drug that is addictive. This is a drug that will cause a child to rob, to burglarize, whatever they need to do to feed their daily habit. And I'm bringing this up this evening because I think that the public really has to be aware of this concern. I applaud the police chief and some of the other police officers that I've spoken to on this. This is not an easy topic, and this is not directed by any means to the Oak Creek High School. But there is a dilemma, a very quiet sort of underlying current that's out there right now, and we need, as residents of this community, to stop it. If we have to put another police officer, I know right now the times are tough. I see people in the front row, I see people in the back row that have children that are in the high school. And this is something that we have got to nip in the bud. Thank you. In the bud, I mean the bud. The bud.
Give me to your left. Mr. Baldwin, do you consider the city's perception of public safety?
Oh, our left.
And that is my fault. Do you consider the city's perception of public safety acceptable?
Crime in the city of Oak Creek has risen 7.6%. Police chief and myself, Thomas Bauer, have discussed this in length. And the idea is this. Right now, things are tough. Things are not acceptable as far as the drug problem, the heroin. And the idea is this. The police chief is kind of setting a precedent by being able to change the whole system that we're working with patrol officers and drug officers. We have undercover drug officers. And what he's doing is actually reassigning people to different places. You have to have people on patrol, and that will stay as is, because as the economy falls, the number of thefts will increase. I worked for an insurance company for 35 years. When the economy goes down, the theft rate goes up, the homeowner's claims rose. And we're quite aware of that. And the chief is now kind of designing the department differently to work with the same number of officers, but to be able to handle different situations. Now, in a time like this, you hire another police officer, you're looking at a chunk of change with the benefits, retirement, and so on. The idea is to work in different ways. And Chief Bauer is doing that, and he has his own methods and ways, and I agree with them. But it's simply a remanagement and a reorganization so he can operate on the more critical areas. And like I always say, leave the police to policing and the fire to firing, and political officials should keep their fingers out of both. So basically, I listen to police chiefs, I listen to, and I go to their meetings, and the idea is they are working in our benefit. They know the problem's out there. But this is something that not only the economy, but the trend in our social life has changed. Drugs have become, you know, recreational. And so we're going to have a problem, but they are doing something and they are planning. So if we would find the money someplace, it would be nice to have a few more officers, undercover drug and or patrol officers, because there's nothing like a black and white to stop crime or police officer walking a beat, and I'm a great believer in the beat. Closer you are to the public as a police officer, the better off the whole city is.
And we'll complete the answers to question number 11 with Mr. Verhalen. Do you consider the city's perception of public safety acceptable?
I don't know exactly what everyone's perception is of Oak Creek's public safety. We can talk a little bit about the way the police department's being run. I happen to know Tom Bauer, our police chief. I went to high school with him here in Oak Creek, so I know him a long time. Getting back to my statement before, where I stated that you don't want to go to the police department and tell the person there how to run his department. It's basically the police chief's call. If Tom decides that there's a problem in our high schools, middle schools, grade schools, he sees that because he has people in those schools already. And if there's a marked increase in bad activity going on in our schools or anywhere else, it's Tom's job to prioritize and move his department and his officers around the way he sees fit. However, that being said, it may be a good idea in the future if there would be a greater priority put into certain things like drug enforcement. Maybe we can have a quarterly report to the council, and the council could be brought up to date and up to speed, I guess, on what the police department is trying to do to abate some of the problems that exist, and maybe put something forth for input by the council and the mayor as to how we'd like to help him address some of these problems, whether it would be more officers, you know, maybe forming a joint task force with another city like Franklin or something like that. But that would probably be the way to go, I would think, if it would be the mayor's job or the mayor and council's job to move forward with the police department to address a certain problem. First of all, inform us a little bit more as to what the department thinks it has to do and how it wants to accomplish it, and then leave it up to us to make things happen or help them make things happen. But the ultimate call is with the department head, as it would be with the fire department as well. I also know the fire chief, known for a lot of years. He does a good job there. And I think with that department as well, you look at what types of calls you're getting, how to staff your fire stations, how many people you need, what type of training they need, how you have to make your people available, and if you need more people, it's up to them to bring it forth to the council and show us why it's warranted for them to hire more people or switch the services around or restructure the department like he has done in the last year in order to accommodate the needs of the city better. So ultimately, we like to see good services maintained, but ultimately those calls are up to the police chief and fire chief. Thank you.
And on to question number 12, and we'll begin with Mr. Bollinger. Mr. Bollinger, too much land is being sold for development. What will you do to help sustain and keep existing farms?
It's a very interesting question. I have an existing farm. Anybody drove by, see those two big black things? Those are Percheron horses that I just bought. And I hate to see that phase of this city end. Our farm has been here, the Verhalen farm has been here, Dittmer farm, and unfortunately, that period of our life is sliding away. And how do you get at that? You know, I have people stop and drive up the driveway when those big horses are out, and they just look at them and they go, we didn't think Oak Creek had a horse or a cow in it, and we have some steers. But you can't stop people from selling their property. If somebody passes away and the farm is handed to two children, one lives in Canada, one lives in Florida, You can't write them a letter and say, you have to get over here and farm this or rent it out to Mark or Dick Bollander or the Creightons or somebody else. They have the right to sell that property. And as long as the development doesn't adversely affect the rest of the community, we can't stop people from selling things. I mean, I like the open spaces. We are lucky. We're on 15th and 5th Simmons. We still have the marsh and the woods around us. But I know someday that's going to be changed. And we're all going to miss that. And that's why I preach open spaces. And if we can do something to help somebody stay here and to help them have a 40-acre place, I think we should do that. But as of right now, that's not available to us. It would be nice, because if sewer and water goes past us, which is planned in the next few years, has anybody got $550,000 to borrow me so I can pay for it? See what I mean? So there are problems. How we would address these, I don't know. I like open spaces. We have deer all over the farm now. I'm sure Creighton's and Mark has the same. And Dimity's got land over on Pennsylvania. You like to see the wildlife. Kids need to say, oh, I get it. Milk comes from that black and white thing. So they understand what it used to be like in Oak Creek when I was young, and that was a long time ago, but we did have electricity. We had farms all over. Norby Verhalen used to farm more land in this city than anybody else did. But that, unfortunately, we can't keep that atmosphere. It would be nice. And if somebody can come up with something that would help save that land, I would be the first guy to jump on board with it. But people have the right to sell their property. And you can't say, you can't sell it only to another farmer, because that's a constitution in this country, so that is a problem. But that's something I don't know how we could possibly come along and save.
On to Mr. Verhalen. Too much land is being sold for development. What will you do to help sustain and keep our existing farms?
Well, the question of sustaining or keeping farms, I guess, goes to the question of who wants to be a farmer anymore. There's very few people in the audience that would want to take up the occupation. Secondly, farming is like any other business. It has transformed over the years to thousands and thousands, or from thousands and thousands in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa, from small family farms to larger farms to larger farms. And now, in order to make a living, even milking cows, you have to have probably at least 250 cows. And if you're going to raise hogs, you have to raise thousands and thousands of hogs. If you're going to raise chickens, you have to raise tens of thousands of chickens. If you want to be a grain farmer, you have to have thousands and thousands of acres of land, because the equipment and input costs are so high that you can farm 30 or 40 or 50 acres like we have in Oak Creek, but at the end of the day, you probably have $2,500 to put in your pocket. So, you know, I don't believe that anyone in Oak Creek or anyone sitting in the audience here especially would want to take up an occupation like that, because for one thing, there's not enough land in Oak Creek to make a viable farm anymore. Most of the land that I farm, I'm on the home farm right now, and there's about 70 acres there, but I also rent land in Oak Creek and in Franklin. And at one time, as Dick said, my parents farmed almost 3,000 acres of land in Oak Creek. And after 1981, when I took over, we've seen a steady decline in the amount of lands that are available for farming in Oak Creek. I could go down the list. There's probably 50 properties in Oak Creek that have turned from agricultural use to residential or commercial or whatever in the last 15 years. And all those lands, when they disappear, there's less for a guy like me to make a living. So I'm still farming about 200 acres right now, but on the 200 acres, it's very hard to make a viable living. I think last year, I think we netted off that 200 acres about $15,000. So, I mean, it's a lot of work and not a lot of money in return. And the land is getting less and less all the time. So I think if somebody wants to have a hobby farm or do a specialty crop or something like that, there is a niche for that. Maybe supply some things to a farmer's market or whatnot, but to have it as a full-time occupation and make a viable living on a small piece of land, it's almost impossible anymore. So if there's people around that want to entertain that as a part-time job or something, that's probably a viable option. But as a full-time occupation, it's not happening in Oak Creek anymore.
I farm, my house and I farm, we make a full-time living for Oak Creek.
We'll continue with the next question, or actually, Mrs. Grabowski, you will provide the final answer to question number 12. Too much land is being sold for development. What will you do to help sustain and keep our existing farms?
Well, the lady, I've lost track of her, she was in the back and she had called out. They reside in my district and they own the organic farm over on Elm Road. And they do an outstanding job. They go yearly to the Bayview markets. They sell their produce. They're very well respected in the surrounding communities as they are here in Oak Creek. Mayor Balder is correct, as is Alderman Verhaelen. There's a very, very small percentage of farms that are left in Oak Creek. You've got Jim and Jackie Creighton, who are in my district. I believe that they're the last dairy farmers in the Milwaukee County. The Boulder, the farm that's been there for many, many years, as well as with the Verhaelen farm, and I think also with, you know, Freddie Wobeck's land. I'm here to tell you that when my husband and I had moved here in 1991, we both wanted land. And my mother-in-law said, no, you don't. And I said, yes, we do. And she said, I don't know about that. And I said, we really do. Because she was raised on a farm. She had the common sense because she knew that it is ungodly hours. You get up at the crack of dawn. And I have a tremendous respect for people that do the farming. It's not by any means, I would imagine, an easy job. They don't get off for holidays. They don't get off for, you know, whatever reasons. You know, they're out there every day, you know, really, really working hard. But I also have seen some very good things happen with the sale of farmlands. I'm a very big supporter of open fields. I represent a district that still has quite a lot of undeveloped land. But we anticipate that in the future, those lands will develop. Alderman Verhaelen and also Mayor Boland are correct. People have a right to sell their land. You know, for anybody to sit back and say, well, you know, we love the idea that we can walk in the back fields with our dog, but we don't want you to sell that. Many people in this day and age buy land for an investment. There's no shame in that, but that's just the clear reality. And so they buy that and they hope that down the road that investment will pay off. I think that what we need to take a good look at is and say, where are the lands that we can, you know, help support as far as with the organic farms? You know, do we need to make sure that every square inch of land, you know, do we jam homes in? I don't know. I don't have all of those answers. But I think that as farming becomes less and less, you will see, you know, farms being sold for development. There's many people in here this evening that, you know, where they're residing at right now, it's simply because that farmer has sold the land and you're living, you know, that was formerly, you know, for horses, cows, pigs, whatever, but you're residing in your home because that farmer sold the land and you're fortunate to live where you live. So I think in just wrapping that up, you know, we're going to see less and less farms. You know, the days have come, sadly, where we won't see as much of that. You know, Oak Creek is a developing and thriving community. We have to understand that. We have to respect that. But we also have to ensure that we have good quality economic development that's coming in.
30 seconds.
Okay, I'll make it real quick. And we need to also ensure that the development that comes in does not negatively affect the existing residents. Thank you.
We will begin question number 13 with Mr. Verhaelen. What do you consider the role of mayor to be as it relates to other governmental agencies?
It all depends on how far up the ladder we want to go. I think the mayor in Elk Creek, being as a part-time position, we have a city administrator also here. But the mayor's job, first of all, is to build consensus among the aldermen, give direction, give foresight as to what policies and what things we'd like to see in Oak Creek and how we want to see Oak Creek develop. Secondly, I think the mayor has to be an ambassador for the city when it comes to working with Milwaukee County, the neighboring communities. After that, when you go to the state level, we have a pretty good repertoire right now with our state representative, Lamar Conadell. He works diligently on things if he's called upon, and right now he has been working at the state level to hopefully move one project forward, and that is the Drexel Interchange for us. So there's other people working behind the scenes, but to that end, I don't think we go really much further than that with a politician on this level. I mean, you can write letters, you can make suggestions, make phone calls to people, but as you go higher up in the echelon of government, you have to have other people that have contacts, you have to have other people that can be your mouthpiece, so to speak, to get your ideas or your proposals across. So basically, I think the mayor for the city, like I said, has to be a consensus builder, has to give direction, work with the neighboring cities. But after you get past some of the state-level officials, it's really difficult for a mayor of a city of this size to really have a lot of impact unless you hire lobbyists or something like that. So I think at a local level, the mayor is really effective. And to some extent, the city administrator does take direction from the mayor and does follow up on policies or requests or things that do go up to the state level. So, as I stated again, the mayor's job is basically first and foremost is Oak Creek. After that, we go up the ladders of government. And whatever we have to do, we have to do. But I think Dick can attest to how hard it is to talk to officials when you get to the state level and even the federal level. Thank you.
Mrs. Grabowski, what do you consider the role of mayor to be as it relates to other governmental agencies?
Whoever asked this question, I think it's a terrific question. I disagree respectfully with Alderman Verhaelen. The mayor is the leader of the ship. The mayor is the person that guides that ship. The mayor is the person that has to be accountable for everything. The mayor is the person, once again, that is the leader. The mayor is also, in my opinion, the ambassador to the intergovernmental agencies, that being Milwaukee County, that being NMSD, the DNR, the state, federal government. Right now we have a lobbyist, George Pichak, does an outstanding job, and you know he was recently hired to lobby for certain efforts in the city. If I'm mayor, and when I become mayor, I intend to be that voice in Madison. I intend to be that person that not only is the voice for this community, but is the advocate for this city. Too often, we are just sort of, you know, out there, we're just running around at the bottom of the ladder. And we say, well, you know, I'm just the mayor, I can't do anything. Well, you know, the city administrator, he can't do anything. There are certain roles in this community. The mayor is not, I guess if you want to call it a job description, and I think Mayor Bollander will state this, there is no job description. You know, you go in there and you figure it out as you go along. But I've had the opportunity as an alderman for 6 years and also as council president, and I'm here to tell you, the mayor's job is vital in this community. It's not a job that just, you know, you sit back, you can't do anything because it's the voice of the council. Wrong. The mayor is the leader of the ship. And for anybody to tell you differently, well, then I'll respectfully disagree. Thank you.
And Mr. Bollander, what do you consider the role of mayor to be as it relates to other governmental agencies?
Well, first, the mayor of the city of Oak Creek belongs, or generally belongs to ICC, which is the Intercommunity governmental body. And all the mayors get together once a month and discuss the local problems and so on and so forth. And the other part of being a mayor is you're the idea guy. You can take things to the council and you bring ideas forth. And you chase businesses down, such as Woodman, such as other Panera, Target, and so on. But here's where I differ from Mrs. Grabowski. The mayor has no vote. The council has the vote, and the mayor does not have any vote. He's not equal to an alderman. Have you ever seen a corporal lead six generals anyplace? The whole idea is this. The mayor should be equal to the council. Until that happens, the mayor is just, he works in conjunction with the city administrator, who is the tool of the council. Now, it's pretty hard to lead if you have no power to lead. And leadership is discussed in different ways. You can lead by bullying in the pulpit, and that's what they say with the weak mayor system, which Oak Creek has, which means the mayor doesn't have a vote. Franklin had this, and 7 years ago they discovered they weren't doing that well. There were some problems. They switched it around. So Franklin has a different style of government than we do. But to say the mayor doesn't lead and there's no leadership in the city of Oak Creek doesn't make real sense to me. I didn't go to Whitewater, become a political, shall we say, political science major, and use this role as something where I can just dole out, we do this and we do that. If you're not equal to somebody and you're actually less powerful, you're not going to lead anybody anyplace. I get a lot of good ideas. I take them to the council. Several people vote for me. Several people vote against me. Other than that, you run police and fire by state statute. They want to keep politics out of that, so they put that under the auspices of the mayor. But until the mayor in the city of Oak Creek becomes equal to your council members, leading by bullying is not my idea of a good idea. So I have a problem with what Mrs. Grabowski just said. I respect her for saying that, and I understand. But there are a lot of times when I'm very, very upset because I come up with something and I sit there, and if you've been to any council meetings, do you ever see me vote on anything? Unless it's a tie. That's the only time I get the vote. That sometimes is a problem.
And we will go on to our final question of the evening and then have the closing statements. So the final question will begin with Mrs. Grabowski. Why should the people vote for you on February 17th?
I believe that the people should vote for me on February the 17th because as an alderman for 6 years, I have a good, solid track record. I've always measured actions versus results. Actions, you can be, once again, moving around at the bottom of the ladder. It's results. In my district, I have been very, very proud to bring in neighbors. Quite frankly, some of them refuse to talk to each other. They don't want the development. You've got a room full of hostile people. I'm able to bring consensus to that group. I have good leadership skills. I have empathy towards the public. And I also feel that the public is just as important as the elected. So, why do I think that you should vote for me? Because I have the energy, I have the commitment, I have the desire. I think Mayor Bollinger has driven him crazy for about the last month, simply because, you know, this is exciting. This is a race. To me, this is everything. I have chosen voluntarily to not run again as an alderman. I've had, great pride. I love doing that job. But I firmly believe that the city needs new direction, it needs energy, it needs commitment, it needs leadership. So I'm asking for your vote on February the 17th. I do believe that I will be the next mayor. I started out a little bit rough tonight looking around the room, but I'm very comfortable talking to the public. I'm very comfortable in measuring actions with results. Very comfortable with that. Thank you.
And, Mr. Bollinger, why should the people vote for you on February 17th?
I've been mayor here for 6 years. When I came in 2003, your taxes were $1.06 higher than they are right now. Did you see any businesses along Howell Avenue? Target, Woodman's, Panera's, Starbucks. Business is the heart of our tax relief. New homes, great, we need schools, we need police, we need fire. When you bring businesses to a community, you bring in lower tax base because the businesses are supporting your city. I have a track record, and you can look on my website, there's a whole bunch of them, and it's too many to name right now, but it's www.dickbollinger.com. Take a look at it. The other thing is, the idea of Oak Creek and our future, I am not afraid of what this city can have. We have something that nobody has, and it's called a lake. What have we done in 50 years with the lakefront? I tried once before, and I got beat up with the lakefront, but it's still something we should be doing. We have acquired MMSD property. That could be a great business park. I brought 27th Street to the council because after I was elected in 03, some of the people in Franklin got a hold of me. I brought the idea to the Common Council. 27th Street stands out among the other cities in this county as two cities working together, Franklin and Oak Creek. Franklin and Oak Creek have an endless future, but I still think Oak Creek is better than Franklin. We just have a whole different group of people here. This is more like down home, where the country meets the city, as I said before. And this is one of the things that we need to do. I made one terrible error last year when the post office came. And I'll stand up for that. I made another one. Bloom Gardner, remember that one? I'll never do that again. That was Bloom Gardner. You know, I was going to vote no because we had three against. I was going to vote against it, and somebody said, Dick, be a team player because it'll have to start all over again. And that little voice in my head said, don't do it, dummy. But what did I do? I said, I'm a team player. And I voted for it. Do you know how many people sent me dummograms by the mayor? I basically looked at this and I thought, never again in my life will I do something that I don't think right at that time is a good idea. And, you know, I made an error on the post office. I should have taken that and been the go guy with the first district, but I didn't. That wouldn't happen again, believe you me. And I should have been there for him, and I should have went to every meeting, but somebody else took that job, and I said, okay, that's fine. But I would never do it again. And I apologize to the first district. That was an error on my part. But we do have the post office, and there are some problems, but the post office, you know, that's a team player. That's good for Milwaukee County and your tax base, so we'll go from there. Other than that, I'm available to the public second Saturday of every month at City Hall, 9 till 12. I sit there, we make coffee, I drink most of the coffee myself, and whoever comes finishes the other half of the pot. And my wife pitches cookies in occasionally. So I'm accessible. I sit up there every Saturday, second Saturday of the month. I'm up there. If you don't come and see me, if you have a question, I'm sorry. You can call me at home. I take home calls at home at any time. 764-4125, because the mayor has to be around. And it's very important to be seen at openings and everything else. Dimity spends a lot of time at openings. I think she's about the only person that shows up with me. But the idea is to always be accessible and show your face. I go to fires, because sometimes when people have a, you know, a big apartment fire, the mayor should be there. I don't care if you're handing out water. It just is good. The people need to see the guy they elected as a leader. And thank you so very much for the opportunity you've given me already, and I expect to be the next mayor.
And we'll close with the answer to question 14 with Mr. Verhaelen. Why should the people vote for you on February 17th?
Well, unlike Ms. Grabowski and Mayor Bollinger, I don't have as much time on the council. But I have a lot of time that I spent at City Hall, at Planning Commission meetings, at Common Council meetings, at rezoning meetings, you name it. I've been at
countless meetings since about 1992. I don't think I hardly missed a one, whether I was elected or not. And that's why I became involved in Oak Creek Citizens Action as well, because I wanted to be involved in city functions and city politics and city policy. Before I was elected, a lot of things I brought forward to the councils and past mayors. Some suggestions they took to heart, some they didn't. I ran for election for mayor twice previous, and I ran for election for alderman. I was ultimately elected for the 3rd District. I think that experience has opened my eyes a little bit as to some of the inner workings of City Hall that maybe I thought I knew a lot about at one point, but everything is a learning experience, and I've gained some valuable knowledge from that experience as an alderman. With that being said, I think my business experience gives me a new way to look at things. As I said before, I'm willing to do different things, work out of the box, maybe make some other suggestions on how things should be changed in order to make some services or things that are provided by the city more efficient. I don't think we can really dwell on the past, and I think Mr. Ballinger maybe made a little bit of a misstatement before. As I stated before, the mayor is a leader. He has to be a consensus builder. As far as development goes, businesses come to a city, whether it's Oak Creek or Franklin or Greendale or whatever, businesses come to a city to make money. They do a pro forma. They look at traffic patterns, the amount of people in a city, whatever. If it's a retail venue, if it's a factory or whatever, they look at things like transportation issues, how they can ship their products, whatever. So a city, to a certain point, sells itself. And Oak Creek is in a prime location to bring businesses to this area. That being said, when they do come here, they usually come through the planning department or maybe the administrator, maybe the mayor at some point in time. But ultimately, everyone has to work together here to get businesses in Oak Creek. It's not just the mayor, it's not just the planner or engineering or the city administrator or the council or even the plan commission. It's everyone working together. So the things that you see that have been established in Oak Creek over the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25, 30 years, that's all a joint effort by people that were here in previous offices or previous plan commissions or previous planning departments. Everyone worked together to a common goal. And I think that is one of the things that Oak Creek has to keep focused on. We have a prime location here. We have something that is the envy of probably 90% of the cities in Wisconsin. We have our own water utility. We have access to rail, airport, any kind of freight you want to ship, whether it's air or truck or whatever you want to do. I mean, there's lots of opportunities here. We have an upcoming opportunity right now, and I don't plan to let it pass by if I'm elected mayor. As I stated before, you have to be able to seize the moment, see what is going to progress the city forward, bring new businesses here, bring new entities here to relieve the taxpayers of some of the tax burden.
30 seconds.
More development and more businesses mean tax relief for the residents of this community. So we have to focus on what areas we want to do and move forward in that capacity.
Okay, thank you. Before we move on to our closing remarks this evening, I would like to thank our candidates for being here and attending tonight's forum, and I also would like to thank all of you for being here. This is certainly important for our community, and you show your civic pride and obligation by being here this evening. We thank you so very much. Mark, I hope you caught your breath, because for closing the closing remarks, we're determined the order of closing remarks was determined before the forum tonight by luck of the draw. And Mark, you had the luck of the draw, so take a deep breath, and each of our candidates now has up to 5 minutes to make a closing statement.
Well, I used up probably a minute and a half, so I'm back again. I think my main focus, if I'm lucky enough to be elected mayor, my main focus, and I think, again, the key word is prioritization. Where do we want to prioritize what we want to do in the city of Oak Creek in the next 3 to 5 to 10 years and moving forward? The things we do today will vastly, vastly affect the direction that the city moves for the next 5 years at least. And the thing that comes to mind to me is the Drexel Avenue freeway interchange, and I know a lot of people maybe don't agree with me, especially people that live in that area, but I go back to Mayor Abendschein, the first mayor of Oak Creek. At that time, Oak Creek was probably 90% rural. But when that man became the first mayor of Oak Creek, he had a vision, and the progressive foresight to see what Oak Creek could become. And based on what he brought forward, Oak Creek has become one of the premier cities in southeastern Wisconsin. We have a lot of things here that other cities don't have that man put in place. The water utility, the North Branch Industrial Park, a lot of the other infrastructure things that we see today, improvements to our main thoroughfares, whether he was responsible directly or indirectly with lobbying to the county or the state to get upgrades to our roads years ago. Again, as I stated earlier, we now have a deja vu situation. We are now getting monies from the new power plant, where years ago we had monies from the old power plant. Those monies disappeared from Oak Creek with a change of the laws in the 1970s. At that point in time, Oak Creek did accrue some debt, and I hate to see us go down that road again where we take monies that could be invested in our infrastructure and could be invested in the future of the city to bring more tax base, to bring more businesses, to ease some of the traffic problems we're starting to see on Howell Avenue here. I would like to see monies from We Energies dedicated basically to improving this city for not only the people that live here today, but people that want to move here in the future, whether it's residences or factories or small businesses, whatever the case may be. We have to lay down the infrastructure for those people to come here and make money. If we don't do that, if we don't invest in what we have here, we're going to see more development go to our neighboring city of Franklin. We've seen that in the last 10 years. A lot of businesses that maybe could have moved here chose Franklin over Oak Creek. For what reason, I don't know. We have more to offer here, but that's water over the dam. I plan on changing the image of Oak Creek if I'm elected and moving the city forward. And my priority is going to be this downtown area. We have an excellent start here. We have an excellent start. But if we don't put the infrastructure in to make this a destination, not just another row of fast food joints and strip malls like every other community's got, we have to make it someplace that people want to go and visit. For whatever reason, we have excellent potential with the Delphi site if we put the infrastructure in to feed it. We have excellent potential with the landowner on the other side of the freeway on Drexel with NML. That is one of the largest companies in the state, maybe one of the largest companies in the country. And they have the money to invest if Oak Creek puts the infrastructure there for them to provide jobs and bigger buildings or whatever they decide to put there. They have the capacity to do it, but Oak Creek has to lead the way. We are the community that requested some of this upgrade that was we're currently bantering and sitting around at various levels, but Oak Creek was the original community that requested the Drexel Avenue interchange. With that being said, I mean, we've been in the news of late of being for the exit, not for the exit, for the exit. This does not send a very good message to the business community, especially when you're talking with people that are probably going to invest tens or hundreds of millions of dollars here to build a building or move a business here. We can't have that. We have to have decisive leadership. We have to have direction. We have to get our priorities set. And now's the time that we have to look at getting our priorities in line and decide where we want to go, which part of the city we want to develop, and how we want to see it develop. Mayor Bollner stated that...
30 seconds.
Mayor Bollner stated there's other areas we can build. But if we do a good job in downtown where people can come here from anywhere and see, boy, look what Oak Creek did with their downtown area. Look at it. I think they can do a good job for us down on Oakwood and Howell. I think they can do a good job for us down on the lake. Those developments will come, but we have to make something here that brings people here that shows we know what we're doing.
And Mrs. Grabowski, your closing statements.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the Oak Creek Community Center for hosting this event this evening, and to Rich Dukniak, and also to our members who are selecting out the cards to give to Mr. Dukniak. I'd also like to just very quickly thank everybody here this evening. I know that everybody is busy. They have busy schedules, so thank you to all of you for coming. That's an important sign to us that you really do care about the community. One of the things that I want to close with this evening is the word vision. You will have heard from three very different individuals tonight. You have heard very different and distinct personalities and three very different styles of leadership. Vision is going to guide this city. Whoever is the next mayor, the vision is going to guide this city for the next 10 to 20 years. Your vote is very, very important on February 17th. Your vote will either send a message that this city can move forward, it can remain the same, or it could become stagnant and go backwards. As an elected official, ownership comes from taking part in your decision-making. It's being a team player. It's being able to communicate effectively, to be able to articulate to the public what your message is. What is your sense of purpose? What is your mission? To be an advocate for our city, the city of Oak Creek. We live in a terrific community. When Darren and I moved here back in 1991, we didn't hesitate. We love this community. We intend to live in this community until we're old, and so it goes. Several key important issues tonight that we really weren't able to touch on, and I was disappointed. The 27th Street Business Corridor. This is an area, once again, with vision. By bringing in good quality economic development, that in turn brings in economic prosperity. That brings the taxes down. That is key for this city. If that area does not develop to what I call quality A-grade investment development, we're going to have some real problems. You've heard this evening about Franklin. My sister-in-law, who's standing in the back right now, resides in Franklin. They've done an outstanding job on 27th Street. Our side looks pretty dismal. We'll get there, but once again, it's vision, it's leadership. I believe that if I am the mayor, and I hope very, very sincerely to be your next mayor of Oak Creek, 27th Street is key, the Delphi site is key. We don't want development coming in there that could be there for a very short period of time. This, once again, is part of the vision. It's the vision of everybody in this room. It's the vision of Ron, Joanne. It's the vision of Vicky. It's the vision of Jerry Ashbaugh, of the Rosenditches in the back, and so the list goes on. But it's the vision of this community that matters. If we move forward under its current leadership, I think we're going to have some severe problems. The Common Council has also been very, very much a part of the voting efforts for Panera Bread, for Woodman's. And I do give credit to Mayor Bollender that Woodman's was, you know, his doing. And I give him credit for that. But for Panera Bread, for the Office Max, for Coles, This is not just one individual. If the mayor does not have any power, how has that individual been able to bring in all those jobs? My background also is in real estate, and I'm here to tell you, it is done on market feasibility studies, it is done on socioeconomics, it's done on the demographics, what brings in business to a community. What brings in business to a community is very good schools, infrastructure, good roads, good police services, fire services, street services, and so the list goes on. I ask for your vote next week. I have the energy, the experience, the willingness. I'm asking for your vote because the vision of this city is that critical. Over the course of the last 6 years, there is belittling, there is badgering. We can't have that anymore. That has to stop. I am a team player, and what I really believe in is the vision of this community. We can keep the taxes down by bringing in good quality economic development. Some people say, well, you know what, that's hard. No, it's not. Having a backbone is having to stand up for your principles. And I'm guided by accountability and integrity. That's what keeps me going every single day. I love my job as an alderman.
30 seconds.
But I want to be the next mayor of this city. And I do believe with your support we'll get there. Thank you.
And Mr. Boulder, your closing remarks.
First, I want to thank Rich and the Community Center and the audience for showing up tonight. I really appreciate that. Also, last week we had a forum with the candidates for the alderman position, so I want to thank the League of Women Voters for that and for coming out tonight because the weather's changing again, but I have a bright spot. I saw two robins today, so if that's any good, maybe we're headed in the right direction. It's a privilege to be and an honor to be the mayor of Oak Creek, and we have a lot of obstacles to overcome in the future. We have a failing economy in the state, and in fact, it's in the world. The economy is in sad shape, partially because of problems that we probably brought on ourselves, and other people in other countries have done the same thing. So as a nation and as a world, we're going to have to work together. We have a new president, and I would suggest we all get behind him and start pushing in the right direction as he's trying to do. We may not like some things, we may like everything, I don't know. But the thing is, a unified force is always better than a splintered one. The idea I have is to maintain the quality of life in the city of Oak Creek. You've heard my two candidates here on my immediate left and their ideas, and I respect both of those. The idea is to keep taxes low, and we refer to Drexel Interchange. The Drexel Interchange is a regional issue. I suggest a coalition of Oak Creek, Franklin, M&L, people who own the land around that interchange, because I can't see it on the back of the taxpayers. We have College, Rawson, Highway 100, and Elm Road will be put in when they widen the expressway. That's signed and sealed already. So we have many entrances. Do you think one more is going to make or break? Do you think every car that gets off of that interchange is going to come to Oak Creek? If you do, I have some slump and some swampland I'd like to sell you, because Franklin is going to benefit from that. M&L is going to benefit from that. Even south of Milwaukee will benefit. Drexel goes right into the heart of their city. It's a regional issue. It should be paid for by regional people, not by the city of Oak Creek. Everybody refers to that tax money that's coming in from Wisconsin Electric. We get the mitigation payments directly from Wisconsin Electric, $2.25 million. That goes right from them to us. And that's great. We've got places that we're going to have to use that money. We're dipping into it already. The other thing is the public utility aid, which is money that goes from Wisconsin Electric to Madison, and some of it comes back to us. The people in Madison signed that into law. Do you know how long it would take them to sign that out of law? About as fast as it did to put it in. Now, I don't believe in taking that kind of risk because it's going to bring us fame and fortune. For the next 4 years, I expect to see things really tough. and if it lasts only 2 years, I'm super happy. But I can't take the chance of saying, let's hang this debt on our head of $4 million, due in 4 years, and hope for the best. I just can't do that. And we have a lot of things going for us. We have the lakefront, which we should do something with, because we're the only city on the Great Lakes who's never done a thing with it. We have the Delphi Corporation grounds, MMSD property on Oakwood and Hall, 27th Street, and we also have to have another little tool. It's called multitasking. We can't work on one thing. We have to work on everything at once. Sounds impossible. Successful businesses and businessmen do that every day. You can't just put your direction on one thing and one thing alone. Mrs. Grabowski states we have no vision. I'd like you to see a document called the Oak Creek Community Vision. This was written April 1st, 2002 by the Common Council. It's on the website. It's a comprehensive plan for the city of Oak Creek. Planning, designing, and assistance. Now, there is a vision. If the council wants to change it or the mayor wants to change it, that's fine. But if you read this, and I'm not going to read it to you tonight, go on the website and take a look at it. It says exactly what Dimity said, exactly what the mayor said. It's how you interpret it. There is not any kind of community purpose that doesn't change. It changes with the economics. It changes with the demographics. Vision is one thing, but vision always changes. You have a plan for the city of Oak Creek. That plan may change 4 times in 10 years because as people come in, different people want different things. The plan has to be fluid. We discussed this last night. A vision has to be fluid to fit the people that come in. And I give Dimity credit. She has a vision for the city. Mine might be different. I don't know. But the idea is this. I've given you leadership through the years of 6. I want to be the next mayor. There are things we can do, and I named them off, Lakefront, Delphi, and everything else. We need to work together. And the idea is we can do this as a city. We're going to go through some very tough times. I vetoed that resolution that the council put forward on a 4-2 vote, and I did it because I said one thing. How are we going to pay for it? If things really go bad, when 4 years is up and somebody says, you owe us the payment will probably be about $300,000 a year. We may need that $300,000 from Wisconsin Electric money to keep us afloat. Because you can raise taxes, but if people don't have any money, they're either going to move out or rebel because taxes are high enough already. And the taxes did go down from the city of Oak Creek by 4 cents. Everybody said, what the hell's that? What it is, you're going in the right direction. If we'd have raised them by 4 cents, we'd be going in the wrong direction. And you can thank the council and the mayor for the taxes. I have a famous saying, no new people, no new programs, no new stuff. I send that every year for the last 6 years. Go back to 2003, you see your taxes are going down, you thank the council and the mayor. If everybody did read the letter I put on the website, it said we felt that it was important to communicate information. Go on a website and look at this. That's the idea. Maintain. Other entities raised their taxes, we didn't. You can thank a lot of people. But basically, I would like to be your next mayor. I plan on being your next mayor. So I would like your vote also. Thank you very much for coming tonight. And I want to say one thing. God bless you, God bless Oak Creek, and God bless America. Thank you.
That concludes our mayoral candidate forum for this evening. Thank you so much for being here this evening.